Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 29th, and it really is like you can't keep your eye off of Bitcoin because the volatility is so extraordinary that it got up above $11,000 early this morning, and within the space of a couple of hours, it had given up $2,000 of its value and closed out the day below 10,000. Well, we know that 10,000 was going to be a big psychological level, and that there has also been reports that some of the exchanges have been slowing down because of the weight of traffic that has been crossing their networks in here today. And of course, that is part of the reason why, because you've had this incredible surge in demand. But it looks increasingly like another sugar high, where we have had a big uptick in volatility. In fact, this is more extreme volatility than we've seen in the context of what is already a very impressive advance. Now, I've put the 50-day moving average on the chart because the 200-day moving average doesn't give us an awful lot of useful information other than the fact that the price is miles above it. What we see with the 50-day moving average is that it's only appropriate when you're thinking about something that is moving really quickly, and obviously that is the case with Bitcoin, but also that it has bounced from the region of that MA on successive occasions since March. So the 50-day moving average is below 7,000, and something that I'll reiterate again is that I do believe the best way to look at these charts is on a log scale, because part of the reason that prices have accelerated to these levels is because people are anticipating that we're going to have futures and options, but we don't have them yet. And that means that the vast majority of people investing in Bitcoin are doing so on a cash basis. And what they're concerned about is the price appreciation. And that's what we get in terms of the percentage moves from these log scale charts. Even on the log scale chart, today's volatility stands out. It's pretty similar to the kind of volatility that we got all the way back in May. It feels like that was back in the Stone Age relative to where the prices are today. But what we can also see on this chart is that this is a staircase step sequence uptrend, and that Bitcoin is prone to sharp pullbacks. And they generally find support in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range. That was certainly the case in September, and it was again the case in November, earlier in November, I should say. Well, the most recent peak of importance was around 8,000, and the price is currently at 9,571. So that would suggest that there is at least another $1,500 in which Bitcoin could pull back and still remain in what is a reasonably consistent advance despite these incredible bouts of volatility. But these incredible bouts of volatility are not unusual. And in fact, that move in April from about 1,000 up to 3,000 was an even larger move than we've seen recently. So when we look at this move, it is really quite extraordinary. And this is by no stretch of the imagination, a bubble. It's also a massive momentum move. But until the consistency of the trend deteriorates, then we will not have evidence that this momentum and bubbly move is over. That's perhaps the most important point out there, that yes, it is a bubble, because we don't yet really have a real-world application for it other than the crime network. And the legitimization of the cryptocurrency market is going to take quite some time. And there is the very real prospect at some point that it is that in the course of legitimization that Bitcoin itself will be outlawed, and there will be some form of federal cryptocurrency. So that represents really quite a threat in the medium to longer term, even in a bull market scenario. In fact, the more compelling the bull market argument becomes, then the greater the likelihood is that central banks are going to want a part of it. So that is something to bear in mind when we hear all of these incredibly bullish arguments. Now, that absolutely has nothing to do with the consistency of the trend. We have seen a peak of at least near-term significance. The potential for another swift and and rather drastic drawdown has increased, and that is also in line with the consistency of the overall environment. What is also I think rather important here is that we had news today that or in fact it was yesterday, that SoftBank is demanding a 30% discount for its next investment in Uber. And in tandem with the fact that so many of the big technology companies, and indeed a number of the autonomies, have already optimized their global tax strategy to the greatest extent possible, that they're less likely to benefit from the corporate tax cut to 20%. The much larger question is the extent to which the new tax environment that's likely to prevail next year is in fact going to be punitive on global taxes. We simply do not know the answer to that yet. But what we did see today was that companies like Amazon and Facebook pulled back in a reasonably dynamic manner. And what that would suggest is that we have a peak of near-term significance, that the likelihood is that this incredible advance, which has seen Amazon rally incredibly impressively out of the most recent range, it's a perfect example of a range being an explosion waiting to happen. Well, it's hit a peak of at least near-term significance around $1,200, and there is some potential for consolidation in here. If it is in fact still going to be a consistent advance, then the strong likelihood is that that it's more likely to go sideways than to come back in a very dynamic fashion and break the region of the trend mean. Considering that the 200-day moving average is still not above $1,000, then the potential here is that we just get some ranging. But what I think is potentially, I guess, more interesting is what's happening with the highly levered companies like Tesla. Tesla is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. It is still holding that $300 level, but $300 is a big psychological Rubicon for this company, and not least because it keeps missing its deadlines. Then, if we look at Netflix, well, Netflix has a much more consistent trend, but it was also subject to some selling pressure in here today, and it also has it is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, but not overly so. So there is the potential that we get some additional ranging, which would unwind that overbought condition. And Nvidia has been among the best performing shares this year, following its stellar performance last year, but this is the biggest downward dynamic that we've seen in quite some time, and that would suggest that a peak of at least near-term significance has been found. That is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and that's sticking out on a weekly chart. If we look at it on a daily chart, we haven't had a downward dynamic like this since June, and what we saw in June was a relatively shallow consolidation. In other words, the low almost held. It was only exceeded for a day, and if that is indeed the case again, then we should see a bounce tomorrow. So I think a lot of people are going to be looking at the VIX. The VIX index was a little bit more positive in here today, but not again in a dynamic fashion. Back in August, we had a pretty substantial spike on the upside, and we did not see that in here today, but it is back above 10, and having been to a new low just 3 days ago below 9, then the likelihood is that we are going to see some additional upside. If we go back and think about what has happened every time it has moved to new lows, then it has been followed almost immediately afterwards with a pop on the upside. But what I think is really particularly worth highlighting here is that because volatility has been so low for so long, and I know that the S&P 500, this has not been updated through the end of today, but when we look at this on a weekly basis, we can see that it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean. It could pull back by 120 points and still be above the trend mean. And even if it pulls back to 2,500, then it would still hold the progression of higher reaction lows on the weekly chart. And there is the potential that we get some pause and consolidation, that we just simply don't know yet which way the tax situation is going to go for the US markets and which companies are most likely to benefit. So that represents, I think, a tad of uncertainty, but tax cuts are generally positive, and that is why the stock market has been doing so very well. And it has been doing well pricing in the tax cuts. So the bigger question really is how much of the good news has already been priced in. We are quite overextended relative to the trend mean, so it isn't beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some mean reversion over the course of the next couple of weeks. But that issue aside, we are in the most positive seasonal part of the year. October through March is where we get the majority of the best performance in stock markets over the course of the year in general. So that would suggest that pullbacks are likely to be relatively minor. And unless we see a significant move in the volatility index, then those automatic trading systems are going to be buying the dips. And we saw maybe a little bit of that in some of those shares that had pulled back earlier in the day, with just about all of them off their lows in here today. Then when we look at the bond markets, they are almost certainly going to raise rates in the US in 2 weeks' time, and that has been priced into the 2-year yield, but it is at just 1.75% right now, and that's not pricing in an awful lot of interest rate hikes, considering that back in 2007 the 2-year yield was closer to 5%. 1.75 is a pretty risible level, and in fact it is only now just above where the lows were back in 2003. But more important than that, this continues to represent a new trend, that we had the progression of higher reaction lows within the base all the way through 2013, 14, and 15, and then we had the first step above the base, and now we're trending higher. And what that suggests to me, at least, is that we're going to see some additional upside. Now, I saw this rather interesting graphic in here today. It's from Capital Economics, and it looks at household income net expectations. So people are beginning to anticipate that they're going to have higher wages. And when you start to think about that, higher wages is something that is very hard to hedonic out of the data. So while they're not yet apparent in average wages, people are expecting to get better wages, and that is generally inflationary. Well, if that is indeed the case, then gold prices, and I think that when we look at it on this basis over 20 years, the most important thing that's happened in almost the last decade has been not so much the peak in 2011, but this massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend in 2015, excuse me, in 2016. This continues to look like a period of right-hand extension following a type 2 bottom, but it needs to sustain a move above $1,300, and it was pulling back from that level in here today. If we do get wages moving higher, and right now central banks, and most particularly the Federal Reserve, is raising interest rates in anticipation of inflation, and also part of the reason for that is because of the fiscal bump that they are expecting from the tax plan. But the reality is that, generally speaking, it's when central banks are behind the curve in terms of dealing with inflation that gold does best. And so far, we don't have a great deal of evidence for that, and I suspect that is why we've had this overall ranging environment for gold prices. This is a pretty, I guess the better way to think about it is that because we've had this rationalization in the gold shares, and the average cost of production has been brought back under control, and the fact that the gold Sweater Gold Trust GLD is trading back above the trend mean, what that suggests is that gold shares are now capable of offering leverage to the gold price. And that's certainly something that's worthy of consideration, because they were not able to do that during the bull market previously, because they had been investing so much in additional supply. Well, they're much more focused now on free cash flow and all-in and controlling all-in costs. And if we do get inflation moving higher, then that is likely to light a fire under interest in gold again, because it will be in a position to offer some protection against those inflationary pressures. So, when we think about it in those terms, the fact that gold has been going sideways for so long, and because ranges are explosions waiting to happen, then that would suggest that eventually gold will break upwards. But I think that we will probably be waiting until inflationary pressures aren't just anticipated, but rather are in fact coming through in the data. Now, when we look at oil prices, they've been very steady and indeed quiet above $60. If we look at this just simply on the weekly basis, this has been really a very steady period with just a 4 week consolidation in a few dollars above the $60 area. And by simply going sideways, it's unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And what that suggests is that this still remains a bull market environment. And as long as that remains the case, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. What we have had has been a little bit of selling pressure in the industrial commodities, and I think maybe the best way to look at it is on the London Metals Index, where it was up pretty strongly and then pulled back yesterday. And this continues to look like a consolidation, and it is slowly but surely unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. But when we look at it on a 10-year basis, it continues to look like a recovery trajectory, and that's very consistent with the period of synchronized global economic expansion that we're currently in. That generally you would anticipate that stock markets are going to be in, generally speaking, a bullish environment, and that's as true of Europe as it is of emerging markets. Europe had pulled back to the region of the trend mean over the summer, and then it rallied pretty impressively through September and October. Then now it's been consolidating for most of November. But what that has done is it really doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation in the region of 400, with a view to breaking out later. And when we look at that on a total Europe basis rather than simply the Eurozone, you get a pretty similar story where the region of the trend mean continues to represent an area of support. When we look at what the euro itself has been doing, then it did break out, and it is now forming this range above the 115 area, having bounced from that area just 3 weeks ago. Now it is back testing this 120 area, and it will need to sustain a move above 120 to reassert the medium-term uptrend, with the prospect that the Federal Reserve is going to be slow and steady in interest rate hikes, but that the federal government is going to be running pretty substantial deficits as it employs pro-cyclical policies. That suggests that Europe, or the euro, has the potential to outperform, and not least because economic growth is taking off, and because with synchronized global economic expansion, all of Europe's exporters are going to be doing better. And considering that the USA is a major destination for a lot of European exports, the fact that the US is doing better is also positive for Europe. And eventually, the strength of the euro will begin to price out some of that competitiveness. But this, if we just simply were to take the labels off the chart, it looks like a bullish chart overall for the euro, and really a sustained move below 115 would be required to question that view. And it's a pretty similar story for the pound against the dollar. If we were to simply take The label's off the chart. What this looks like is a consolidation above the trend mean, and that a progression of higher reaction lows has been evident just about all year. So the pound is at 133, and a sustained move above 135 would reassert the medium-term uptrend. And considering that we have had a 3-year decline already, then the potential is that the pound is back on a recovery trajectory, and there is the potential that they're going to come out of the Brexit negotiations with a relatively benign environment. Well, the FTSE 100 has been pretty steady, and the AIM 100 continues to outperform. So it has been trending higher in a pretty consistent manner since the beginning of 2016. We've had a moderation in the pace of the advance so over the last 6 months, not least because of the strength of the pound. But as long as that progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, then we can give it the benefit of the doubt. And we need to go back for almost 20 years before we can see where prices were at before that big decline back in 2008. UK small caps practically evaporated during the financial crisis, and they are just now recouping all of that decline and back testing that 5,500 level. This represents one of the sectors that has done best from the devaluation of the currency. The Chinese market was a bit steadier in here today, and the CSI 300, which is the index that has futures on it and therefore one that has most leverage, was well off its low in here today, not quite able to post an upside key reversal, but it was looking more positive, and by pulling back now from that overextension, it has held the progression of higher reaction lows around 4,000. But of course, there is still quite an overextension relative to the trend mean. So the best possible scenario is that it goes sideways. When we also check back in with Tencent Holdings, then it posted that upside key reversal yesterday. And we did not get follow through in here today. It was following through early in the day, but then closed on the low of the day down 7. So that would suggest that that 400 area is going to have to hold if this is going to remain a reasonably consistent environment. Often we'll see in very consistent trends that they lose consistency at the penultimate peak, and this is a somewhat larger pullback. So then we can say that Tencent is beginning to lose consistency. And not least because it did accelerate in November, and that alone is an inconsistency relative to the relatively steady pace of the advance all the way from January. So there is a lot going on in markets right now, and the likelihood of some pause of consolidation I think has increased. But we also have to bear in mind that volatility is still very low, and then the question is whether the pause of consolidation that is looking likely for some of the most overextended of the technology shares is going to be anything other than a pause when we have these other factors of passive investing, risk parity strategies, and quantitative strategies that are all buying the dips and contributing to this low volatility environment. I continue to think that gold has the potential to break out, but it may be a case of waiting a while longer before we get there. And there is a real risk that Bitcoin could pull back by at least another $1,500. And so, with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.